You're on Texas Standard Time.
Those watching the proceedings at the Texas Capitol this weekend may have noticed a tale of two chambers. One working at a frenzied pace to clear the way for full Senate votes on no fewer than 17 of the governor's 19 big legislative items. The other chamber, I bet you could find a place to sneak a nap somewhere in there. Nothing like the sort of hustle lawmakers are experiencing on the Senate side. Ross Ramsey is executive editor and co-founder of the Texas Tribune, where he writes regular columns on politics, government, and public policy. Good to see you here in the Standard Studios.
Hey, David, how are you? You could take a long nap, I think.
Yeah. The tortoise and the hare. I guess, Ross, you've seen this movie before.
Yeah, this is interesting. You know, often, you know, in history, the House has been moving very quickly and the Senate's been slow and deliberate, sort of the way Thomas Jefferson imagined this system. And it's flipped in Texas the last few years, and it's really flipped hard in the current special session. The Senate, as you say, is flying through this stuff, and the House is moving very slowly. They've got a limited time, and slow plays lead to death.
Yeah.
You know, in a 30-day special session, the Senate wants this stuff to hurry up.
But during the regular session this year, very much the same kind of thing, right? I mean, we saw the Senate really moving at a breakneck pace. Joe Strauss, does it come down to the Speaker of the House really not wanting to see a lot of these laws passed? Is that what it comes down
to? Well, I think part of it is the Speaker of the House. Part of it is that he personifies what the House wants to do. Mm-hmm. You know, this is kind of a protection racket. The House has 150 members. They say publicly, we want to do this or we want to do that. But what they say privately to the Speaker on some of these issues, bathrooms is an example, we don't want to vote on this. In the case of the bathrooms, that's because they're torn between business supporters on one side and social conservatives who vote for them on the other side. They'd like to have those in harmony before they vote.
Let's game this out. Let's say that, I mean, we talk about 17 of these 19 issues now appear to be ready for a vote in the Senate. And so let's say the Senate steps on the gas and we get votes on all of them. They go over to the House side. The Senate then twiddles their thumbs while they wait for the House to take action. What if the House doesn't take action on any of these? What happens?
If the House doesn't take action, nothing happens. You know, there's one must-pass piece of legislation here, and it's the sunset bills that you've talked about before that continue five agencies. The House is moving on those and are on that bill. There's two bills in that. Other than that, you don't have to pass anything.
Well, I mean, but what is the realpolitik here? I get that the House could decide we're not going to take any action. But then what unfolds at that point? Do we have a governor saying we're going to pass this stuff come hell or high water and we're going to have another special session? Do we have some sort of odd showdown? We've seen lawmakers run to Oklahoma and other places in the past. What happens here? How does this unfold?
Well, you know, the first take on this is you're one chamber, I'm the other. You're in a hurry. You pass a bunch of stuff. You send it over to me. In a legislative sense, I now have 17 hostages, right? And you're waiting for me to do something, and I, you know, you've got to figure out a way to get me to do it.
Yeah.
You know, the other wild card here, or another wild card here, is the Democrats. They don't have enough votes in either the House or the Senate to change the outcome on most of these issues.
Right.
But they do have the votes to threaten a quorum, you know, which is your Ardmore reference, right? I don't think they'll do it, but they have been. There has been some talk of, you know, New Orleans is nice this time of year. So we have a standoff. We've had a standoff between the House and the Senate for most of the year, as you point out. In the regular session, Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor and the presiding officer of the Senate, began crabbing at the House in March, saying they're not going fast enough. This is going to be a train wreck.
All right. Well, we know that they are already planning for the possible outcomes here. I mean, we saw them hold on to these appropriation bills, these sunset bills, so that they could have a special session.
Right.
So we know the gears are turning right now. How do you see this playing out? What is the calculus now if you're Governor Abbott or you're Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor, head of the Senate?
The governor has a play at the beginning and at the end. He sets the agenda, and at the end, he decides what to sign or not sign, and ultimately decides whether to call another special session. Mm-hmm. But in the middle, he's kind of a passive player. He can make noise, but he's, you know, kind of a passive player. The lieutenant governor is getting these bills out of the Senate to set up the next piece, which is going to be the lieutenant governor trying to press the House to act on these things, trying to force votes in the House. I suspect the House will pass a handful of these things in a way that the Senate likes and sends to the governor. And we'll pass a handful of things that, in a way that the Senate doesn't like. For example, in the regular session, the House passed a bathroom bill. The Senate did. Mm-hmm. They didn't agree on the versions.
Right, right.
One passed a property tax bill. The other one passed a property tax bill. They didn't agree on the versions.
Are we looking at a second special session, do you think?
I don't think so. I think, you know, Abbott has made his point with the special session that he cares about these issues and he will come back for more.
That will be sufficient, politically speaking.
Right. Patrick's made his point by voting these out. And Strauss has made his point by stopping these issues.
We'll see what happens in 2018 once all this hits the fan, I suppose. Ross Ramsey is executive editor of the Texas Tribune. Good to see you again. Thanks so much for coming in and talking with us.
Thanks, as always.